right, we are ready as far as I see. And maybe Chumba can dance for us again. When Chumba dances, she brings the spiritual world to everybody. Let me put my video on. Here I am. So, we'll actually put Chumbaga on the main video right now. There she is. All right, so we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava. Hey, let's see. Oh, yeah. Microphone's working. Everything seems to be working. Okay. And one, two, and ready, go. So, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Giribaro Dhauti Gopi Jana Balaba Giribaro Dhauti Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bana Chauti Yamuna Tira Bana Chauti Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Biharti Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Biharti Gopi Jana Malabha Giribaro Dhati Bijana Balaba Giribaro Dhati Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Vanachari Yamuna Tera Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Olsa Teta Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Huridas Thakur Kijai Ren Say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kijai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shai Mukund Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mathuram Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Tulasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Primananda Hari Hari Gaur All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Primananda Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschacha Deja Tarane Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so on that happy note, we're going to continue with our Bhagavad Gita class. So, Om Ganati Vedanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we go on to the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, maybe before class, I'll just mention a few things that just recently shocked me at how degraded American society is. I never realized it, you know, how people everywhere are getting drunk, intoxication, families don't stay with each other, children are taking intoxication. It's just like, wow, what's happened to society? Wow, I think as far as raising children, of course, the only solution is, I think right now, is a Krishna conscious, first class Krishna conscious school or homeschooling. You send the school kids to a regular school and it's an ocean of dysfunctionality. I'm not going to get into so many details, but I was talking to devotees today about ordinary life in America. And I thought it was only in the movies. Like I was talking to some devotees today about how they used to go to the bars and get drunk before they became Krishna conscious. And I asked them the question, is it ever like those Western movies where people pick up chairs and start smashing on each other and bottles and everything? And they said, yes, that happens quite often. So I didn't realize that things were as bad or actually worse than they show in the movies in real life. So society is going to, actually can't say going to the dogs, because that would be an offense against dogs. It's actually going to, not even the Rakshasas, I mean Ravana was actually much more sophisticated and refined than that. It's basically worse than animal life. America and I guess most Western countries and even India, you know, there's so much drunkenness. Intoxication is all pervading in the world today. Even in India, there's bars everywhere. Kali Yuga is very quickly progressing and we have to fight against that. As members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, I mean, the last 50 years, you know, since I was a kid, things have really gone downhill. I don't know what it's going to be like in another 50 years. Whew. This Krishna Consciousness Movement is the only thing that can save humanity. Okay. On that happy note, let's go to the Bhagavad Gita. We're going to start with text 12 in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And some of the texts we're going to be reading today are extremamente important. In other words, they're key verses. So, text 12 is Mogasya Moga Karamano Moga Jnana Vichesdasaha Rakshasim Masurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shita Moga Mahasaha Baffled their hopes, Moga Karmanaha Baffled. Let me just turn this thing on. Baffled in knowledge, vichetasaha, bewildered, rakshasim, demonic, asurim, atheistic, cha and eva, certainly, prakritim, nature, mohinim, bewildering, shutaha, taking shelter of. Translation, those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Oh my God. Those who decry the personality of Godhead. And so Prabhupada's purport is even heavier. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. Wow. In other words, those devotees can sometimes be called Kali Chelas. Kali Chelas means disciples of Kali. Wow. That's a heavy statement. So they assume themselves, because they haven't really accepted that Krishna is everything, Krishna is everywhere, Krishna controls everything. They think there's something else going on. And some people have not even accepted they're not the body. And so they may get into different things like chauvinism or racism and things like that. That's not devotees. Devotee means yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanapashati. You see all living entities equally. And as far as engaging people in Krishna consciousness, everyone has a right according to their own propensities and abilities and intelligence. In other words, we put people in different positions in Krishna consciousness according to their abilities. That's it. Not according to their gender. Not according to their race. Not according to their nationality. First lesson in Bhagavad Gita is, you are not that body. Oh my God, what a shock. We're not that body. I didn't know that. So, and Krishna talks about how to engage people in different varnas according to their guna and karma. He doesn't say anything in relationship to gender or race. Chaturvarnam, Mayashrishtam, guna, karma, vibhagasha, that people are understood to be in different or have different occupations according to their qualities and work. It's as simple as that. No problem. That's why you find little children at 5 years of age, the four Kumaras, were great gurus. And that's why you find even the Lord preaching the absolute truth one time with a horse head, Hayagriva incarnation. So, let's speak of Matsya Avatar, a fish. You know, who's going to accept initiation from a fish? The fish happens to be God. So you have to see something according to the qualities, not simply the external. And to see a Vaishnava according to their body is hellish intelligence. It's more or less like thinking the deity to be made out of stone or wood. Remember that. So Prabhupada says, for them, the fruit of the devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. People don't accept God as a person are demonic or atheistic. They may be of different religions and not know about Krishna, but at least they accept God as a person. Otherwise, they may have a religion, but if the religion propagates the philosophy that God is ultimately not a person, or the person is subservient to the impersonal, that is atheistic, as described, or the energy assumes a form, as we read previously in this chapter. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demoniac miscreants never surrender to Krishna, because that's that verse, Namam Diskritina Muda, that describes the four types of people who don't approach Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. Pretty stupid. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there's no difference between God and himself. These are all stupidities. I don't think we need to explain them too much. It's even more ignorant to think that sooner or later this body is going to come out of the tomb. That's also another illusion. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. This is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of knowledge in the Vedic literatures like Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads is always baffled. They will never understand Krishna. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yoveti Votikam Deham Krishnasya Paramatmanaha Sarasa Saravasmad Vahishkarya Sruktasmarta Vidanataha Mukam Tasya Valokyapi Sachelam Snanamacharet. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all the rituals and activities of the Shruti and Smriti. In other words, just stop behaving like a Brahmin or making believe that you're a Brahmin. Just behave like what you are, which is a rascal. And if one by chance sees his face, one should at once take a bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. We'd be taking a bath constantly in the Ganges. So one should carry around a little bottle of Ganges water, Gangajal. Jal means water. And every time you look at someone, you go, ch-ch-ch-ch. Not very practical. But anyway, that's the standard. Actually, there's an interesting story about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. How Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda went to visit this home of someone ostensibly a renounced householder, Swami householder. And, you know, they took some food, they're vegetarian food, but then after the dinner, they were asked by this man, would you like some happiness? And so Lord Chaitanya didn't know what happiness was. In fact, Lord Chaitanya thought happiness means chanting the Lord's holy names. And so he asked Lord Nityananda, what does he mean by happiness? And Lord Nityananda said, he means liquor. So even in those days, people were drinking liquor. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt so disgusted with this, he immediately jumped in the Ganges without changing his clothes or anything like that and swam upstream for several kilometers, or downstream. Actually, it would have been downstream. For several kilometers. It must have floated, too, because it was downstream. Because he went to Advaitacharya's house. So, that's the point. So one should really be careful. People jeer at Krishna, you know, make fun of Krishna, because they're envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in a species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. However, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, even people like that can be saved. But in order for us to try to save those people, we have to be on a very high level of devotional service. And Mahabhagavat can interact with people like that. But the Majjhima Adhikari, not a good idea. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Benares one time, which is the seat of atheism, Mayavadi culture in India, he was being derided by these group of atheistic, what we call Mayavadis, impersonalists. And they were having their, let's say, get-together every day, and they would make fun of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when the devotees heard that, it really hurt their hearts to hear that Lord Chaitanya was being criticized. So they begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go there to try to dissuade these people. And this assembly was being headed by one particular atheist known Prakashananda Saraswati. Not Prabhupada, Prakashananda. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, and what he did, I mean, he's God. He can change the mentality of basically anyone. So he went there, and he showed himself. Let's see what people are asking to the chat. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So he showed himself as like 10,000 or 100,000 or a million suns of a brilliance. And he actually sat down in the foot washing place, which is considered a very low place. And this devotee, Bhagavatananda, took him by hand and sat him down in a respectable place. And he asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why don't you study Vedanta? Why are you engaged with all these sentimental devotees? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my spiritual master called me a fool. He told me just to chant Hare Krishna. And since I've been chanting Hare Krishna, I'm just going very quickly through this. I exhibited all these symptoms of ecstasy, and my spiritual master said, when I asked him what kind of mantra have you given me, my spiritual master said, I am very pleased. You've achieved pure love of God. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to philosophically defeat them, and they became devotees. So don't try that at home. So we have to understand certain people we just avoid in terms of talking to. You know, we can make small talk with them. How are you? How are your children? Like that. What's the news? But you don't preach to those who are capable of making some offense. Whoops.
Let me turn this Here's off. The top search result.
Whoop. Your phone always talks to me. So you don't preach to those people. That's the second class devotee. You avoid the envious, remember. You go after the innocent. You avoid the envious. You worship God and make friends with the devotees. All right. Next text is extremamente important, and it's one you should all remember. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivam prakriti mashrita bhajantyananya manaso gitva bhutaram aviyam. Atmanaha, the great souls, tu bhat mam, unto me, partho, son of prita, daivim, divine, prakritim, nature, ashritaha, having taken shelter of, bhajanti, render service, ananya manasaha, without deviation of the mind, yatva, knowing, bhutva, of creation, ladim, the origin of yayam, inexhaustible. Translation of Sanaprita, those who are not deluded, these are the devotees, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. In other words, we devotees or aspiring devotees are not controlled by Krishna's material nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So in other words, those who worship Krishna have faith that Krishna is everything. Faith in Krishna's absolute supreme personality of Godhead are always protected by this bubble of the divine nature. And a symptom is that they're always engaged in serving Krishna because they know Krishna's everything. And they know everything is meant to please Krishna. So, Prabhupada explains, important verse. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this affected? That is explained in the seventh chapter. One who surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, from this day. I am yours. I belong to you. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, remember to describe what marginal means? Tatashta is the word in Sanskrit. It's neither on the spiritual side or the material. Well, it's actually spiritual, but it has the choice to go spiritual or material. That's the living entity. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. Hari Bol. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called daiva prakriti. Basically, daiva, godly energy, or divine nature. When one is promoted in that way by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of a great soul, Mahatma. So, one reason Prabhupada's going to really get into this Mahatma word is because, just to give a little history, before Prabhupada actually surrendered to his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada was following Mahatma Gandhi. Okay. And Prabhupada made many comments about Mahatma Gandhi, but anyway, I'm not going to get into those comments right now. But Prabhupada really wanted to drive home to the devotees and people in India what the word Mahatma means. And Prabhupada would continually recite this particular verse, Mahatma nastu mam partha daivam prakriti ashrita. He said, you cannot rubber stamp a Mahatma, a great soul. The great soul has to have the qualities described by this verse, and that's what a Mahatma is. In fact, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Mahatma Gandhi about 2-3 weeks before Mahatma Gandhi, or maybe in a month, before Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. And he wrote this letter, he's predicting what was going to happen to Mahatma Gandhi. He said, my dear Mahatmaji, and I forget the exact wording, he said that now that you've achieved what you wanted, you know, India's independent, you should take up the preaching of the Gita. And in this way, you know, basically your life will be auspicious. This is actually the purpose of life. And if you don't do that, you're going to meet the same end that others like Mussolini and other personalities who are not really so great met, which is basically, you know, shocking end of the life. And so that's exactly what happens. And Prabhupada really, from the spiritual platform, gave Mahatma Gandhi a chance to actually change his fate. And Prabhupada was aware of his fate. I mean, an amazing story if you read that letter. The letter is available. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna because he knows perfect well that Krishna is the original, the supreme person, the cause of all causes. There's no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, a great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted, so I'm going to have to explain all this. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Now, let us explain something that's a little controversial. Because we do find many great devotees and Mahatmas attracted to Lord Ram. So here Prabhupada says they're not attracted to any of the features of Krishna. They're simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. And actually you find many great devotees in South India who are attracted to Lord Vishnu. I mean, you have many temples in South India especially. And so you say, what's going on here? Well, here Prabhupada is manifesting a particular bhav or emotion that he has. That he's thinking, Krishna is so great, how can anyone else be attracted to any other form? So this is actually a manifestation of Prabhupada's prema, this particular part of the verse. The Prabhupada is just like focused on Krishna in his original form in Goloka Vrindavan, and he's thinking people are not attracted, but, you know, obviously, there are great devotees attracted to other forms. So when I understand this verse, this part of the purport in context, that Prabhupada is emoting here. Prabhupada is actually displaying his exalted position here. And Prabhupada, certainly, he was personally interested in glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev or other incarnations of the Lord. I mean, Prabhupada established that every morning we would chant the prayers of the Lord Nrisimhadev. And also we would chant Panchatattva Maha Mantra, so, which is non-different from the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, esoterically. So we have to understand that particular statement in the context of Prabhupada's teaching, in the context of the Vedic literatures, and we're using that particular concepts of hermeneutics to explain that. Okay? And here is another important verse. Wow. One after the other. And what do these great souls do? Listen to this. Satatam kirtiyanto mam yutantas cha jrda vrita namasyantas jamam vakya nitya yukta upasate. Satatam, always kirtiyanta, chanting mam about me, yatanta, fully endeavoring, cha also jrda vrita with determination, namasyanta, offering obeisances, cha and mam me, vakya in devotion, nitya yukta perpetually engaged. Upasate, worship. And these great souls, like previous verse, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam pakuti mashrita, they've taken shelter of Krishna's internal energy. They're always worshipping Krishna, kyatva bhutanam avyam. And they go back to Godhead. So specifically, what do they do? They're satatam kirtiyanto mam. They're always chanting about Krishna. And they're endeavoring, they never become depressed or lose their enthusiasm, as Rupa Goswami says, utsahan nishya dharyat, they're enthusiastic, they're determined, patience, bowing down before Krishna. These great souls perpetually worship Krishna with devotion. Krishna worship me. Nitya yukta means they eternally, forever, worship Krishna with devotion. It's another verse about Mahatmas, because it's referring to the previous verse. And here Prabhupada again gets into the thing, the definition of Mahatma. Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. And, this indirect reference to Prabhupada's previous allegiance before he met his spiritual master. His symptoms are described here. Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he's not an impersonalist. When the question, saying that God is ultimately energy, when the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. So that's the Sanskrit words. The Nam. Nam means name. That's easy to remember. And then Rupa. Rupa means form. And Krishna has a beautiful threefold bending form, playing a flute, peacock feather in his hair. And then his transcendental qualities, and we've heard about that before. Sometimes Krishna is very serious. There's four different qualities, Dhiradatta, Dira Prashanta, Dira Lalita. He's playful, he's serious, he's joking, like that. So we hear about Krishna, and you read the Nectar of Devotion to hear about some of Krishna's transcendental qualities. And his uncommon pastimes, and his intimate pastimes, where Krishna just plays as one of the boys, or dances with the girls, or acts as a little baby, and he bewilders his mother and draws his mother's affection out. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmajyoti, is not described as a Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. We'll read about that. The Mahatma is always engaged in the different activities of devotional service as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, which is the same as Krishna, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. And here we see the first three qualities of the Navabhakti process. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam. That means hearing, chanting of Vishnu's name, and remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. So we should be thinking about that. I really want it. Lalyam. I do want to understand who I am. I'm sick of these bodily identifications. This is actually what Devahuti says to her son, Kapiladev. Nirvina nitamam bhuman asadindriya tarshana. She said, of the disturbances of these senses, I'm sick of it, she says. Prabhu, Anand Prabhu, So therefore I surrender unto you. She's talking actually to her son, who happens to be her guru. So here's another instance of a little kid becoming a guru. So anyway, we should just think, yeah, I'm sick of all of these being in this ocean of material existence with all these waves of emotions just waving me. I'm getting nauseous. I remember, and I mentioned this before, when I was young, I would go out in a boat in the ocean with my family, and the waves are going back and forth, and I would get sick. I'd be hanging off the side of the boat, regurgitating. I couldn't keep any food down. And people think that's ecstasy, to have your own boat, to be able to vomit. So the material world is like that. It's these waves, you know, people die, people do things, people betray you, people threaten you. I mean, it's just like waves. I mean, wow. It's interesting. I mean, if one's detached in this world, then you're not really swayed that much. I mean, for example, I posted something on Facebook, which is, you know, it's a nice thing, showing how I was in favor of having everybody in the Krishna consciousness having equal rights for service. And regardless of their gender, national origin, or whatever. And people attacked. Wow. And I just thought it was interesting. But if one's attached in this material world, one will go, oh no, people don't love me anymore. You know, don't expect it. If your expectations for the material world are not so high, you're not going to be disappointed. But when we have high expectations, we're disappointed, because we have this expectation, you know, that everything, just make this adjustment, if I can get this person to do that, this person to do that, get this money here, wow, everything will be perfect. It doesn't work like that. As soon as you make one adjustment, then something else goes bad on the other side. So, anyway, so you have to be very enthusiastic. Utsahan is the word in Sanskrit, to become Krishna conscious, and very determined. Because we want to understand who we are. I want to know who I really am. Isn't that worthwhile, to find out who you are? You have amnesia, and you don't know who you are? I mean, I would dedicate my life to that. I remember there was even one television show, and I don't remember the name of the television show, where someone didn't know who he was, and he was just dedicating his whole life to finding out who he was. So that's what we should be doing. We have this eternal relationship with Krishna. You know, we're Krishna's gopis, we're Krishna's cowboys, we're Krishna's parents, we're Krishna's servant. Let me find out, at least. You know? That's intelligence. To achieve that success, he engages all his activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, the Ekadasi, of the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. So if you really want something, there's a process to get it. That's all. You have to be really attentive. And that shows your intention. If you're really attentive, it indicates your intention is focused. You have good intention. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, it is very easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood, as I was describing to the devotees the other day. That, you know, I've been in Krishna consciousness for 50 years, about 50 years, and it's been like a great I mean, it's just, it's fantastic. I mean, there's a little challenges here and there. But it's amazing. Krishna's been extremely merciful. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service guided by an expert spiritual master in any position, either as a householder, a sannyasi, a brahmachari, any position, anywhere in the world. He can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. You know, Prabhupada took those who were Duratmas, those engaged in nefarious activities, and changed them to Mahatmas. Amazing. Okay. So, let's read the next verse. Jnana yajjena chapyan jahi yajanto mamupasate ikatvena pitaktena bohuda vishvatomakam. Jnana yajjena, by cultivation of knowledge. Cha also. Api certainly anye others yajantaha sacrifice imam me upasate worship ekatvena in oneness. Pitakvena in duality, bhuta in diversity, vishvata mukam, and in the universal form. Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge, because that's jnana yoga, sankhya yoga, worship the Supreme Lord as one without a second, as diverse in many in the universal form. This verse is a summary of the previous verses. The Lord tells Arjuna that those who are purely in Krishna consciousness and do not know anything other than Krishna are called Mahatma, yet there are other persons who are not exactly in the position of Mahatma, but who worship Krishna also in different ways. Some of them have already been described as the distressed. In other words, there's people who are not fully absorbed in Krishna or approaching some aspect of Krishna, like in the universal form. They're not considered Mahatmas, but, you know, at least they're better than nothing. Some of them have already been described as the distressed, the financially destitute, the inquisitive, and those who are engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. But there are others who are still lower, and these are divided into three. He who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. Two, he who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that. And three, he who accepts the universal form, the Vishvarupa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest, those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be Manas, are most predominant. Such people think themselves to be the Supreme Lord in this mentality. They worship themselves. This is also a type of God worship, for they can understand that they are not the material body, but are actually spirit soul. At least such a sense is prominent. Generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. The second class includes the worshiper of the demigods, those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. And the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord. At least they do something. But they're not actually engaged in Krishna consciousness. Now, it could be a stepping stone in certain cases. I mean, almost anything would be a stepping stone. Just like that story I told about Bilba Mangal Thakur. His going to visit a prostitute was a stepping stone. But for most people, it ain't a stepping stone. It's a stepping down stone. I guess I should tell the story of Bilba Mangal Thakur. For those who have not heard it, Bilba Mangal Thakur was very attached to a prostitute named Chintamani. Pretty good name of a prostitute. And one day he wanted to see her, and it was just right after his father had died, and he just became lusty. But it happened to be a big thunderstorm, lightning, hail, everything like that, so she was on the other side of a raging river. Somehow they grabbed something that was to cross the river, and he discovered later on it was a dead body, and he had to climb over the wall to her house, and basically it was like a snake he used. Fortunately, he didn't get bit by the snake. Finally arrives at her door, completely bedraggled, a mess. And he knocks on the door and she can't believe it's him. She says, Bilba Mangal, if you had so much determination and love to be Krishna conscious, you'd be a pure devotee. And so he said, hasta la vista. He said goodbye to her. And he went to Vrindavan. Some things happened on the way to Vrindavan, which we won't describe. But he went to Vrindavan and became a great, great devotee, composing the Krishna Karnamrita and other literatures in glorification of Krishna. So in that case, you know, his prostitute was a stepping stone. He was going to a prostitute. But generally, it's not that these cases where you're worshiping yourself as God is a stepping stone. Now, actually, the universal form, at least you're considering something to be greater than yourself. Or if you worship the demigods, for example, and then follow the Vedic injunctions, you're having to chant Krishna's name to perform the worship. Like all the mantras in the Vedic literature begin with Om. Om, as we described before, is in one sense non-different from Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna, and the living entities. So Krishna tricks everyone. Like Krishna tricked the Buddhists. How did he trick the Buddhists? Well, he incarnated as Lord Buddha. And Lord Buddha taught basically something that was more or less like psychology, didn't really mention anything about God, but at least he was teaching about nonviolence and being compassionate and all that other middle path and all those other nice things. And then people gradually started to worship him almost in the level of God. I mean, maybe they didn't say he was God. Obviously, most Buddhists don't say he's God. But they have these big statues, and they offer incense, and they chant these prayers. And Buddha is Krishna. So they're actually tricked into worshiping Krishna. So sometimes things that may not appear to be stepping stones are actually stepping stones. Okay, next verse. Aham kratur aham yajna. Swadaham aham aushadam mantroham aham evajam aham agnir aham kutam aham I kratu Vedic ritual aham I yajna smriti sacrifice swada oblation aham I aushadam healing herb mantraha transcendental chant aham I eva certainly ajyam melted butter aham I agnihi fire aham I, Hutam, offering. You see how many times Krishna says aham, which means I. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter, the fire, and the offering. So Krishna is all those things. And that's the point. Vasudevam sarvamiti sa mahatma sudrulabhat. One should come to the point of understanding everything belongs to Krishna, everything's a manifestation of his energy. He's in control of everything. He's aware of everything. He's all good. I mean, all these different qualities of the Supreme Lord. So the Vedic sacrifice known as Jyotishtoma is also Krishna, and he's also the Mahayagya mentioned in the Nismriti. The oblations offered to the Pitriloka. Pitriloka is like a vacation place for those who die. Or the sacrifice performed to please the Pitriloka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. In other words, all these different mantras, you should see Krishna in them. Ultimately, they're meant for pleasing Krishna. And actually, it was Jiva Goswami who composed the Hari Namamrita Vidhikarana, which is a Sanskrit grammar book, and utilizing the Sanskrit grammar, or teaching Sanskrit grammar, he showed how all the different items in Sanskrit grammar were Krishna. That's a cool way of learning Sanskrit. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk, products for offering the sacrifice are also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna, because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separate energy of Krishna. Remember? Bhumi Rupo Mano, Vayu Kamano. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in Karmakanda means material upliftment, division of the Vedas, are also in total also Krishna. Everything's Krishna. That's how a devotee should see. Or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to perform all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. And of course, let us make reference to the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 15 in this regard, where Krishna says, Vedais chashvaveya aham eva veda. What does that mean? He says, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. I am to be known. And of course, also he says, Mataksmriti Jnanamapo Nanchana. So, Anyway, so Krishna's the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas, although if someone simply reads the Vedas, they'll never be able to understand that without the guidance of a spiritual master. Because the Vedas are so multi-branched, and that's stated in the Mahabharata, Tarko Pratishta, Shutina, Vibina, that there are so many different branches of knowledge in the Vedas. I mean, you have the Ayurvedas, which are meant for medicine. You have the Jyotir Shastras, which are basically meant for predicting astrology. You have the Rig Veda, which is, you know, hymns. You have the Yajurveda, which talks about different sacrifices. You have the Sama Veda, which is basically musical Veda. And Atharva Veda, which talks about other things like different weapons, curses, and things like that, and other things. So it's really hard to understand. Just like if you go to a library, everything in the library may be, you know, theoretically, knowledge, but it's not that everything is talking about the same subject matter, but everything is meant for the same purpose in a library, to make people have a better life, let's say. So all the Vedic literatures are meant to actually ultimately bring people to Krishna, and some are meant to bring Krishna, people to Krishna in a more indirect path, and some in a more direct path. That's why you have the Puranas. There are 18 main Puranas, and there's actually a lot more Puranas than that. 18 main Puranas. And these Puranas are divided into three groups. There's six in the mode of goodness, six in the mode of passion, and six in the mode of ignorance. Not that the Purana is in the mode of ignorance, but it's meant for people in the mode of ignorance. Because people who are in the mode of ignorance, you've got to give them something they're going to be attracted to. And people in the mode of goodness, that's the best Purana amongst the six that are in the mode of goodness, is the Bhagavatam. It's called the Bhagavat Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyway, so I think that's all we'll do today. And tomorrow we'll start with text 17. And now we'll take some questions from people. Give me 1 second. We will allow you to ask some questions. Manas tumam parta dharam pakati mashta vacham chinam manasa gyatva pradharma satatam kirti antam mam. Okay. Who wants to ask a question?
Gurudev.
It sounds like Praneshwar.
Yes. So I have 2 questions. First question is, how to conceive, yeah, accept by her the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Absolute Truth?
How to conceive, understand it?
Yeah, and accept.
How to accept? Well, we accept by developing faith. And as we've read previously in the Bhagavad Gita, faith comes from the association of devotees. When I met Prabhupada, my faith grew tremendously. When I saw Prabhupada's actions, when I hear about Prabhupada, even today, when we hear these Prabhupada memories or statements by Prabhupada or listen to a class of Prabhupada, I was just listening this morning to a class of Prabhupada speaking, not class, but a conversation that Prabhupada had with this yogi Bhajan, who was the head of this, one of these Sikh communities. And Prabhupada was actually preaching to him how he should worship Krishna. He said, it was very interesting. He said, Guru Nanak, who was actually one of the founders of the Yogi Bhajan's group, his IC group, he said, Guru Nanak recommends that you worship Krishna. He accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why don't you? So here was Prabhupada preaching to someone who was very, very prominent in the Sikh community. And Prabhupada was just like, and Yogi Bhajan was trying to bring Prabhupada to this meeting that I think was in Arizona somewhere. And Prabhupada kept refusing to go. And Prabhupada was just like so bold with his complete conviction, because we're talking about faith. complete conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that, and Prabhupada said, mark my words, you'll never achieve unity. And of course they didn't achieve unity after that meeting, which Prabhupada refused to go to. So you just hear Prabhupada's complete conviction, complete trust in Krishna. And then you gain that same trust, of course, not the level of Prabhupada, but you gain complete trust in Krishna by associating with Prabhupada. You understand? That's the method. How to understand that Krishna is everything? Well, that's kind of hard. But at least we have faith that Krishna is everything. I mean, I have not experienced everything yet, and I have no desire to experience everything. But, you know, we have faith in Krishna's words. And we have faith in Prabhupada's words. And, you know, we all experience something. We have some realization, as Krishna says in the beginning of the ninth chapter, Prachaksha Bhagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Prakritam Avyam. There is some direct experience of Krishna. Faith grows by associating with Krishna's devotees. That's the point. Associate with Prabhupada. You just hear how Prabhupada is bold, completely convinced. Well, you read from the statements of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur saying, similar experience. Okay? Praneshra, it's the middle of the night for you. What are you doing now?
I get up at 2.
Oh, I hope you're chanting Hare Krishna when you get up at 2, right?
Yes. And then I read Bhagavad Gita. And my second question is, like, one side Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to give Krishna to everyone and to talk about Krishna, to identify the person who is not supposed to invest, so not preach to him Krishna consciousness. Then how to identify the person?
How do you identify? Well, that's a pretty easy thing. You say, would you like to hear about Krishna? And he says, no, I don't believe in God. I don't like God. Then you don't talk to him. I mean, that, to me, that's one of the easiest things I have to do is understand who you don't talk to about Krishna. Of course, when I first joined Krishna consciousness, I didn't understand that. And I was preaching to everybody, including to my father about Krishna, and he got angry. So after that, I decided not to preach to my father, and then he got more favorable. So, like, oh my God, I hate to use this expression, don't throw pearls before swine. I don't think you understand what that means. Swine, anyway, I don't want to describe what it is, because people will get upset. In other words, people who are going to commit offenses, people who are going to be, like, nasty by your explaining things, you just don't. You don't. I mean, the only time Prabhupada really spoke to people like that and blasted them was because he was preaching and there were other people watching. You know, he wanted to train his disciples how to deal with rascals. So Prabhupada really blasted them. You know, so I remember there was one professor, and professor asked, you know, what does Krishna mean? And he was a Sanskrit professor, and Prabhupada just like said, you're teaching Sanskrit and you don't know what Krishna means. And then he turned to the disciple. He says, what type of person is he? And another devotee, one devotee said, rascal. And Prabhupada said, yes, you're a rascal. So in those cases, Prabhupada did that. But there's this whole injunction, Upadesho hi murkanam prakopayana shantaye. Don't give a fool good instructions, just make him angry. Another injunction is, don't give a snake milk, because it'll just increase the volume of poison. So you have to just have some discrimination. Who you talk to, how much you can talk to. I mean, even if you can talk to someone about Krishna, you have to know how much you can tell them before it just, like, they get offensive. That's discrimination, Prabhupada said, is the better part of valor. So don't try to force it, Krishna consciousness, down everyone's throat. Anyway, associate with Prabhupada, and then you'll get so much strength and determination. I mean, every day, at least once or twice a day, I'm listening to a class or morning walk or conversation that Prabhupada is having. And that's where my determination comes. I mean, from chanting, from associating with the devotees, but hearing Prabhupada is just like, I become on fire. You know, so, and that's what's going to hold our movement together. Our movement should not be centered upon the present gurus, although we have faith and love for our guru. Our movement should be centered on Prabhupada. Otherwise, things are going to fall apart when the present gurus go away. So it has to be centered on Prabhupada. So it has to be more Prabhupada consciousness, listening to Prabhupada. You know, we love our guru, but that's our personal business. It's just our personal business. And but Prabhupada has to be more and more emphasized, and the service to Prabhupada has to be more and more emphasized, the service of Prabhupada's movement has to be more and more emphasized. And that's what will keep us together. Otherwise, this individual party spirit is something that will destroy our Krishna conscious movement if we let it. Okay. Who else has a question?
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Maharaj, okay. The question I was having was, of course, it was an ignorant question. Out of ignorance only I'm asking. It's of no offense to anybody. I completely believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and there is no doubt about it. But then there is one question I get it, please, like, you know, when I talk to the people from Sri Sampradaya, they say that Krishna comes from Narayana. And that makes me wonder, like, Ramanujacharya, I think he should have read Bhagavatam for millions of times, even before he has come into this planet and all.
Right.
So when I try to comprehend between what Mahatattva says, that from Krishna comes Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Sankarsana, Balarama, and then the Karnodaksha, yeah, and all the incarnations. So this is what confuses me. And every time I try to ask some senior devotees and all, the answer I get it is, it doesn't matter. Everybody is Vishnu Tattva and all, as long as one...
But that's what Prabhupada said several times. But actually, if you refer to the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, you actually see that Ramanujacharya came in touch with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a certain point, and he was told to limit his preaching to a certain extent, and then leave it up to Lord Chaitanya to show the actual purport of the Bhagavatam. But ultimately, Prabhupada said, yes, whether you say, I mean, there's many discussions where Prabhupada said, whether you say that Vishnu comes from Krishna, or Krishna comes from Vishnu, it's real, they're all eternal.
Mm.
I mean, the Vedic literature is obvious. You do say, Ete Chang Sa Kalak Pum Sa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. That's from the Bhagavatam, where Krishna is the origin. And also the Brahma Samhita. So many verses how there's one candle that lights other candles. And some of the Upanishads, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. I mean, we can go through so many different verses. But ultimately, you know, as the Brahma Samhita says, Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupam, that God has many different forms, and to say that, and all these forms are eternal. So when we're saying that one comes from another, that's not a time-based thing. You understand? When you say that Krishna expands as Balaram, it's not that at a certain point Krishna expanded as Balaram. Balaram's eternal. Lord Vishnu's eternal. So it's just indicating the ontology. When we say that one is the original, it's indicating the ontology that one aspect of the Supreme Lord has more qualities than any other aspect of the Supreme Lord. That's ontological. And oftentimes when we hear that, you know, even the description of the Brahma Samhita, that one candle lights another candle, we think that means that there was only one candle in the beginning and the other candles weren't existing. It's not true. It's not true. So you're trying to, not just you, but others who ask that question are trying to impose a time frame in these expansions, and there is no time frame in these expansions. We're talking about eternity. Therefore, ontologically, if one makes an objective analysis of the various manifestations or Vishnu Tattva manifestations of God, one will see that the manifestation of Krishna is the most complete manifestation. Now, why do we say that? Because only when God appears as Krishna are there intimate relationships. Only when God appears as Krishna is there flute playing, unexcelled beauty, or intimate devotees. These are the four qualities listed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. Only in those aspects. So, let's say if you compare an ordinary man, what is more complete understanding? When he's home or when he's at work? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, Maharaj. I would say when
they're both existing. It's not that one comes from another. Right. See, we're injecting or projecting our time-based understanding when we say that Krishna manifests as Lord Vishnu or Krishna manifests as that. But these are eternal manifestations of the Lord. Lord Vishnu is always existing. Krishna is always existing. Balaram is always existing. Sheshanaga is always existing. It's not that at some point Krishna thinks, hey, it would be nice to have Balaram around. Let me create a Balaram. Let me create, anyway. No, I mean, these are eternal manifestations of the Lord. So, yeah, try not to impose a time concept on this. I mean, it's an important point. Actually, everyone should hear what I'm saying because it's really important. So therefore, that's the reason we say that, I mean, that was Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Venkatabhata in Srirangam. Venkatabhata is a follower of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually said to Venkatabhata, your worshipable lady, Lakshmi, is engaged in all sorts of austerities for thousands of years to become to associate with Krishna and Vrindavan and the Rasa dance. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, whoops.
Hi, yeah.
Who else? All right, let me, I'm on mute. I got to put someone on mute. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Venkatabhata, why is it that Lakshmi is engaged in is she being chased to Lord Narayan by doing that? And Venkatabhata said, yes, she is, because she is actually... or Lord Narayan and Krishna is the pastime form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why is that in spite of doing all these austerities she was not able to enter into the Rasa Leela? And then Venkatabhata couldn't answer that question, and Lord Chaitanya said, because she was attached to that opulent mode of worship and her form as Lakshmi, so she could not enter into the Rasa Leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by that explanation, Lord Chaitanya proved to Venkatabhata that the form of Krishna or understanding of God as Krishna is superior to the understanding of God as Vishnu because there's more qualities.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Yeah, I was reading Bhagavatam, I was seeing the percentages. For humans, Brahma being the topmost has 78, and Shiva to be 83, and Narayana to be 84, I think, for Shiva, and 93 for Narayana, and Krishna to be 100%. That's what, if I remember.
Krishna has 64 qualities. Yeah. Actually, Narayana has up to 60, and then 64 is Krishna.
Yeah, I was reading this percentages, man.
There's more qualities than that. But the point is the ontological explanation. I know that's a big word for all of you, ontological. Ontological basically means the nature. The nature of Lord Vishnu's manifestation is not as intimate, or is not as opulent, even in a broader sense, as Krishna. Krishna exhibits more qualities than Narayan. And that's practical. That's an ontological. Use that word if you want to impress people.
I don't want to impress anybody, Maharaj. I just wanted to tell them the truth and all, but I was not having some points and all.
But the point is, don't try to argue with them. Just say, you know, when I go to South India, I don't have arguments with the followers of the Sri Sampradaya. I appreciate it. I chant Om Namo Narayanaya with them. And when I go to a Christian church, I chant Praise the Lord with everybody. So when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Yeah, because I come from South India, Maharaj. So that's where, you know, there was a strong attachment to the Narayana deity and the source and all. We used to believe, at least to be honest, I used to believe that, you know, everything was coming from Narayana until I was getting into the Krishna consciousness to understand this.
Yeah,
details, but finer details.
It's not old me that everything is coming or everything is not coming, because that's a time-based conception which we often use the nomenclature for. But everything is always existing, but the manifestation of Krishna is more complete. And, you know, you go to South India, I appreciate Sri Rangam. And another thing about Venkateshwara, actually he's Balaji. Balaji means Krishna as a little boy. Prabhupada said that. Although most people think Balaji is like he's Narayan, but he's actually a little boy. That's Prabhupada said that. That's not just me. Prabhupada said Balaji. You don't call God Balaji. You call Krishna like that, isn't it? Like Balagopal, Balaji. That's a very like childish name. Balaji.
And that's one of his names, Maharaj. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That was one of his names, like you were about to say, Venkateshwar Swami. Yeah. That's what we
call. Yeah, but also he's Balaji.
Yeah.
Balaji is actually an intimate name. With Venkateshwar Swami is an odd referent name. So anyway, don't worry. Krishna's God, Lord Narayan's God, Venkateshwar's God, and they're all doing Krishna's so wonderful, Keshavadrita. And even, that's an interesting thing, even in South India, they accept the Dashat Avatar Shloka. Keshavadrita, Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita, Shukara Rupa, Keshavadrita, Rama Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Jayadev Goswami's slogans. And I remember walking up the hill to see Balaji one time, and it's a long walk, I tell you that.
Yes, Maharaj.
They actually had all the different incarnations on the way up. Did you ever walk up the hill?
Yes, Maharaj. That's what every time when I'm to India, definitely I go there.
Yeah, so when you walk up the hill, you actually see the different deities on the way up of the different incarnations. It's really beautiful. And they actually have a deer park on the way up too. That's actually quite a nice walk. Ramanujacharya, respecting Tirumala as part of the Lord's spine, never even walked with his feet in Tirumala. Did you know that?
This I don't know, Maharaj.
He walked on his knees up the hill.
Oh, my.
Because he didn't want to put his feet in Tirumala on the floor.
And those days it was not even clean. I'm sure it should have been with a lot of thorns and pebbles and all, because it's
there were no steps,
right?
Yeah, there were no concrete steps in those days. Anyway, thank you for your question. Oh, too bad nobody else had an opportunity to ask questions. But tomorrow you've got to let other people ask questions.
Sure, Maharaj. Thank you so much for that explanation.
I liked the question, and it got me to think a little bit about it. Okay, so thank you very much. See everybody tomorrow night, same station, same time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
Jai.
Go, Premananda. Hari, Hari, Go.